The elder wept, and the woman began her story. My native land, Holy Father, was Egypt. Already during the lifetime of my parents, when I was 12 years old, I renounced their love and went to Alexandria. I am ashamed to recall how there I at first ruined my maidenhood, and then unrestrainedly and insatiably gave myself up to sensuality. It is more becoming to speak of this briefly so that you may just know my passion and my lechery. For about 17 years, forgive me, I lived like that. I was like a fire of public debauch, and it was not for the sake of gain. Here I speak the pure truth. Often when they wished to pay me, I refused the money. I acted in this way so as to make as many men possible try to obtain me, doing free of charge what gave me pleasure. Do not think that I was rich and that was the reason why I did not take money. I lived by begging, often by spinning flax. But I had an insatiable desire and an irrepressible passion for lying in filth. This was life to me. Every kind of abuse of nature I regarded as life. That is how I lived. Then one summer I saw a large crowd of Libyans and Egyptians running towards the sea. I asked one of them, "Where are these men hurrying to?" He replied, "They are all going to Jerusalem for the exaltation of the precious and life-giving cross, which takes place in a few days." I said to him, "Will they take me with them if I wish to go?" "No one will hinder you if you have money to pay for the journey and for food." And I said to him, "To tell you the truth, I have no money, neither have I food, but I shall go with them and shall go aboard, and they shall feed me whether they want to or not. I have a body, they shall take it instead of pay for the journey." I was suddenly filled with a desire to go, Abba, to have more lovers who could satisfy my passion. I told you, Abba Zosimus, not to force me to tell you of my disgrace. God is my witness, I am afraid of defiling you and the very air with my words. Zosimus, weeping, replied to her, "Speak on for God's sake, mother. Speak and do not break the thread of such an edifying tale." And resuming her story, she went on. That youth, on hearing my shameless words, laughed and went off, while I, throwing away my spinning wheel, ran off towards the sea in the direction which everyone seemed to be taking. And seeing some young men standing on the shore, about 10 or more of them, full of vigor and alert in their movements, I decided that they would do for my purpose. It seemed that some of them were waiting for more travelers, while others had gone ashore. Shamelessly, as usual, I mixed with the crowd, saying, "Take me with you to the place you're going to. You will not find me superfluous." I also added a few more words, calling forth general laughter. Seeing my readiness to be shameless, they readily took me aboard the boat. Those who were expected came also, and we set sail at once. How shall I relate to you what happened after this? Whose tongue can tell, whose ear can take in all that took place on the boat during that voyage? And to this all I frequently forced those miserable youths even against their own will. There is no mentionable or unmentionable depravity of which I was not their teacher. I am amazed, Abba, how the sea stood our licentiousness, how the earth did not open its jaws, and how it was that hell did not swallow me alive when I had entangled in my net so many souls. But I think God was seeking my repentance, for he does not desire the death of a sinner, but magnanimously awaits his return to him. At last we arrived in Jerusalem. I spent the days before the festival in the town living the same kind of life, perhaps even worse. I was not content with the youths I had seduced at sea and who had helped me to get to Jerusalem. Many others, citizens of the town and foreigners, I also seduced. The holy day of the exaltation of the cross dawned while I was still flying about hunting for youths. At daybreak I saw that everyone was hurrying to the church, so I ran with the rest. When the hour for the holy elevation approached, I was trying to make my way in with the crowd, which was struggling to get through the church doors. I had at last squeezed through with great difficulty almost to the entrance of the temple, from which the life-giving tree of the cross was being shown to the people. But when I trod on the doorstep which everyone passed, I was stopped by some force which prevented my entering. Meanwhile, I was brushed aside by the crowd and found myself standing alone in the porch. Thinking that this had happened because of my woman's weakness, I again began to work my way into the crowd, trying to elbow myself forward, but in vain I struggled. Again, my feet trod on the doorstep, over which others were entering the church without encountering any obstacle. I alone seemed to remain unaccepted by the church. It was as if there was a detachment of soldiers standing there to oppose my entrance. Once again, I was excluded by the same mighty force, and again I stood in the porch. Having repeated my attempt 3 or 4 times, at last I felt exhausted and had no more strength to push and to be pushed, so I went aside and stood in a corner of the porch. And only then, with great difficulty, it began to dawn on me, and I began to understand the reason why I was prevented from being admitted to see the life-giving cross. The word of salvation gently touched the eyes of my heart and revealed to me that it was my unclean life which barred the entrance to me. I began to weep and lament and beat my breast and to sigh from the depths of my heart. And so I stood weeping when I saw above me the icon of the Most Holy Mother of God. And turning to her my bodily and spiritual eyes, I said, O Lady, Mother of God, who gave birth in the flesh to God the Word, I know, oh how well I know, that it is no honor or praise to thee when one so impure and depraved as I look up to thy icon, O ever virgin, who didst keep thy body and soul in purity. Rightly do I inspire hatred and disgust before thy virginal purity. But I have heard that God, who was born of thee, became man on purpose to call sinners to repentance. Then help me, for I have no other help. Order the entrance of the church to be open to me. Allow me to see the venerable tree on which he who was born of thee suffered in the flesh, and on which he shed his holy blood for the redemption of sinners and for me, unworthy as I am. Be my faithful witness before thy Son that I will never again defile my body by the impurity of fornication. But as soon as I have seen the tree of the cross, I will renounce the world and its temptations, and will go wherever thou wilt lead me. Thus I spoke, and as if acquiring some hope and firm faith, and feeling some confidence in the mercy of the Mother of God, I left the place where I stood praying, and I went again and mingled with the crowd that was pushing its way into the temple. And now no one seemed to thwart me, no one hindered my entering the church. I was possessed with trembling and was almost in delirium. Having got as far as the doors, which I could not reach before, as if the same force which had hindered me cleared the way for me, I now entered without difficulty and found myself within the holy place. And so it was I saw the life-giving cross. I saw, too, the mysteries of God and how the Lord accepts repentance. Throwing myself on the ground, I worshipped that holy earth and kissed it with trembling. Then I came out of the church and went to her who had promised to be my security, to the place where I had sealed my vow. And bending my knees before the Holy Virgin, Mother of God, I addressed to her such words as these. O loving Lady, thou hast shown me thy great love for all men. Glory to God who receives the repentance of sinners through thee. What more can I recollect or say, I who am so sinful? It is time for me, O Lady, to fulfill my vow, according to thy witness. Now lead me by the hand along the path of repentance. And at these words I heard a voice from on high. If you cross the Jordan, you will find glorious rest. Hearing this voice and having faith that it was for me, I cried to the Mother of God, O Lady, Lady, do not forsake me. With these words I left the porch of the church and set off on my journey. As I was leaving the church, a stranger glanced at me and gave me 3 coins, saying, Sister, take these. And taking the money, I bought 3 loaves and took them with me on my journey as a blessed gift. I asked the person who sold the bread, which is the way to the Jordan? I was directed to the city gate which led that way. Running on, I passed the gates and, still weeping, went on my journey. Those I met, I asked the way, and after walking for the rest of that day, I think it was 9 o'clock when I saw the cross. I at length reached at sunset the church of St. John the Baptist, which stood on the banks of the Jordan. After praying in the temple, I went down to the Jordan and rinsed my face and hands in its holy waters. I partook of the holy and life-giving mysteries in the church of the Forerunner, and ate half of one of my loaves. Then, after drinking some water from Jordan, I lay down and passed the night on the ground. In the morning, I found a small boat and crossed to the opposite bank. I again prayed to Our Lady to lead me whither she wished. Then I found myself in the desert, and since then up to this very day, I am estranged from all, keeping away from people and running away from everyone. And I live here clinging to my God, who saves all who turn to Him from faint-heartedness and storms. Zosimus asked her, "How many years have gone by since you began to live in this desert?" She replied, 47 years have already gone by, I think, since I left the holy city." Zosimus asked, "But what food do you find?" The woman said, "I had 2.5 loaves when I crossed the Jordan. Soon they dried up and became hard as rock. Eating a little, I gradually finished them after a few years." Zosimus asked, "Can it be that without getting ill, you have lived so many years, thus without suffering in any way from such a complete change?" The woman answered, "You remind me, Zosimus, of what I dare not speak of. For when I recall all the dangers which I overcame and all the violent thoughts which confused me, I am again afraid that they will take possession of me." Zosimus said, "Do not hide from me anything. Speak to me without concealing anything." And she said to him, "Believe me, Abba, 17 years I passed in this desert, fighting wild beasts, mad desires and passions. When I was about to partake of food, I used to begin to regret the meat and fish of which I had so much in Egypt. I regretted also not having wine, which I loved so much. For I drank a lot of wine when I lived in the world, while here I had not even water. I used to burn and succumb with thirst. The mad desire for profligate songs also entered me and confused me greatly, edging me on to sing satanic songs which I had learned once. But when such desires entered me, I struck myself on the breast and reminded myself of the vow which I had made when going into the desert. In my thoughts I returned to the icon of the Mother of God which had received me, and to her I cried in prayer. I implored her to chase away the thoughts to which my miserable soul was succumbing. And after weeping for long and beating my breast, I used to see light at last, which seemed to shine on me from everywhere. And after the violent storm, lasting calm descended. And how can I tell you about the thoughts which urged me on to fornication? How can I express them to you, Abba? A fire was kindled in my miserable heart, which seemed to burn me up completely and to awaken me a thirst for embraces. As soon as this craving came to me, I flung myself on the earth and watered it with my tears, as if I saw before me my witness, who had appeared to me in my disobedience, and who seemed to threaten punishment for the crime. And I did not rise from the ground. Sometimes I lay thus prostrate for a day and a night, until a calm and sweet light descended and enlightened me, and chased away the thoughts that possessed me. But always I turned the eyes of my mind to my protectress, asking her to extend help to one who was sinking fast in the waves of the desert. And I always had her as my helper and the acceptor of my repentance. And thus I lived for 17 years amidst constant dangers. And since then, even till now, the Mother of God helps me in everything and leads me, as it were, by the hand." Zosimus asked, "Can it be that you did not need food and clothing?" She answered, "After finishing the loaves I had, of which I spoke, for 17 years, I have fed on herbs and all that can be found in the desert. The clothes I had when I crossed the Jordan became torn and worn out. I suffered greatly from the cold and greatly from the extreme heat. At times the sun burned me up, and at other times I shivered from the frost, and frequently falling to the ground, I lay without breath and without motion. I struggled with many afflictions and with terrible temptations. But from that time till now, the power of God in numerous ways has guarded my sinful soul and my humble body. When I only reflect on the evils from which our Lord has delivered me, I have imperishable food for hope of salvation. I am fed and clothed by the all-powerful Word of God, the Lord of all. For it is not by bread alone that man lives, and those who have stripped off the rags of sin have no refuge, hiding themselves in the clefts of the rocks." Hearing that she cited words of Scripture from Moses and Job, Zosimus asked her, "And so you have read the Psalms and other books?" She smiled at this and said to the elder, "Believe me, I have not seen a human face ever since I crossed the Jordan except yours today. I have not seen a beast or a living being ever since I came into the desert. I never learned from books. I have never even heard anyone who sang and read from them. But the word of God, which is alive and active by itself, teaches a man knowledge. And so this is the end of my tale. But as I asked you in the beginning, so even now I implore you for the sake of the incarnate word of God to pray to the Lord for me, who am such a sinner. Thus concluding her tale, she bowed down before him, and with tears the elder exclaimed, "Blessed is God who creates the great and wondrous, the glorious and marvelous without end. Blessed is God who has shown me how he rewards those who fear him. Truly, O Lord, thou dost not forsake those who seek thee." And the woman, not allowing the elder to bow down before her, said, "I beg you, Holy Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, tell no one what you have heard until God delivers me of this earth. And now depart in peace, and again next year you shall see me, and I you, if God will preserve us in his great mercy. But for God's sake, do as I ask you. Next year during Lent, do not cross the Jordan, as is your custom in the monastery." Zosimus was amazed to hear that she knew the rules of the monastery, and could only say, "Glory to God, who bestows great gifts on those who love him." She continued, "Remain, Abba, in the monastery, and even if you wish to depart, you will not be able to do so. And at sunset of the holy day of the Last Supper, put some of the life-giving body and blood of Christ into a holy vessel worthy to hold such mysteries for me, and bring it. And wait for me on the banks of the Jordan, adjoining the inhabited parts of the land, so that I can come and partake of the life-giving gifts. For since the time I communicated in the temple of the Forerunner before crossing the Jordan, even to this day, I have not approached the holy mysteries, and I thirst for them with irrepressible love and longing. And therefore I ask and implore you to grant me my wish. Bring me the life-giving mysteries at the very hour when our Lord made his disciples partake of his divine supper. Tell John the abbot of the monastery where you live. Look to yourself and to your brothers, for there is much that needs correction. Only do not say this now, but when God guides you, pray for me." And with these words, she vanished in the depths of the desert. And Zosimus, falling down on his knees and bowing down to the ground on which she had stood, sent up glory and thanks to God. And after wandering through the desert, he returned to the monastery on the day all the brothers returned. For the whole year he kept silent, not daring to tell anyone of what he had seen. But in his soul he prayed to God to give him another chance of seeing the ascetic's dear face. And when at length the first Sunday of the great fast came, all went out into the desert with the customary prayers and the singing of psalms. Only Zosimus was held back by illness, as he lay in a fever, and then he remembered what the saint had said to him, "And even if you wish to depart, you will not be able to do so." Many days passed, and at last, recovering from his illness, he remained in the monastery. And when again the monks returned and the day of the Last Supper dawned, he did as he had been ordered. And placing some of the most pure body and blood into a small chalice, and putting some figs and dates and lentils soaked in water into a small basket, he departed for the desert and reached the banks of the Jordan, and sat down to wait for the saint. He waited for a long while, and then began to doubt. Then raising his eyes to heaven, he began to pray, "Grant me, O Lord, to behold that which thou hast allowed me to behold once. Do not let me depart in vain, bearing the burden of my sins." And then another thought struck him. "And what if she does come? There is no boat. How will she cross the Jordan to come to me, who am so unworthy?" And as he was pondering thus, he saw the holy woman appear and stand on the other side of the river. Zosimus got up rejoicing and glorifying and thanking God. And again the thought came to him that she could not cross the Jordan. Then he saw that she made the sign of the cross over the waters of the Jordan. And the night was a moonlit one, as he related afterwards. And then she at once stepped onto the waters and began moving across the surface towards him. And when he wanted to prostrate himself, she cried to him while still walking on the water, "What are you doing, Abba? You are a priest and carrying the divine gifts." He obeyed her, and on reaching the shore, she said to the elder, "Bless, Father, bless me." He answered her trembling, for a state of confusion had overcome him at the sight of the miracle. Truly, God did not lie when he promised that when we purify ourselves, we shall be like him. Glory to thee, Christ our God, who has shown me through this thy slave how far away I stand from perfection. Here the woman asked him to say the creed in Our Father. He began, she finished the prayer, and according to the custom of that time, gave him the kiss of peace on the lips. Having partaken of the holy mysteries, she raised her hands to heaven and sighed with tears in her eyes, exclaiming, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, O Lord, according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation." Then she said to the elder, "Forgive me, Abba, for asking you, but fulfill another wish of mine. Go now to the monastery and let God's grace guard you, and next year come again to the same place where I first met you. Come for God's sake, for you shall again see me, for such is the will of God." He said to her, "From this day on, I would like to follow you and always see your holy face. But now fulfill the one and only wish of an old man and take a little of the food I have brought for you." And he showed her the basket, while she just touched the lentils with the tips of her fingers and, taking 3 grains, said that the Holy Spirit guards the substance of the soul unpolluted. Then she said, "Pray for God's sake, pray for me, and remember a miserable wretch." Touching the saints' feet and asking for her prayers, for the church, the kingdom, and himself, he let her depart with tears while he went off sighing and sorrowful, for he could not hope to vanquish the invincible. Meanwhile, she again made the sign of the cross over the Jordan and stepped onto the waters and crossed over as before. And the elder returned filled with joy and terror, accusing himself of not having asked the saint her name. But he decided to do so next year. And when another year had passed, he again went into the desert. He reached the same spot, but could see no sign of anyone. So raising his eyes to heaven as before, he prayed, "Show me, O Lord, thy pure treasure, which thou hast concealed in the desert. Show me, I pray, thy angel of the flesh, of which the world is not worthy." Then on the opposite bank of a river, her face turned toward the rising sun, he saw the saint lying dead. Her hands were crossed according to custom, and her face was turned to the east. Running up, he shed tears over the saint's feet and kissed them, not daring to touch anything else. For a long time he wept. Then, reciting the appointed psalms, he said the burial prayers and thought to himself, "Must I bury the body of a saint? Or will this be contrary to her wishes?" And then he saw words traced on the ground by her head, "Abba Zosimus, bury on this spot the body of humble Mary. Return to dust that which is dust, and pray to the Lord for me, who departed in the month of Fermutin of Egypt, called April by the Romans, on the first day, on the very night of our Lord's Passion, after having partaken of the divine mysteries." Reading this, the elder was glad to know the saint's name. He understood, too, that as soon as she had partaken of the divine mysteries on the shore of the Jordan, she was at once transported to the place where she died. The distance which Zosimus had taken 20 days to cover, Mary had evidently traversed in an hour, and had at once surrendered her soul to God. Then Zosimus thought, "It is time to do as she wished, but how am I to dig a grave with nothing in my hands?" And then he saw nearby a small piece of wood left by some traveler in the desert. Picking it up, he began to dig the ground, but the earth was hard and dry and did not yield to the efforts of the elder. He grew tired and covered with sweat. He sighed from the depths of his soul, and lifting up his eyes, he saw a big lion standing close to the saint's body and licking her feet. At the sight of the lion, he trembled with fear especially when he called to mind Mary's words that she had never seen wild beasts in the desert. But guarding himself with the sign of the cross, the thought came to him that the power of the one lying there would protect him and keep him unharmed. Meanwhile, the lion drew nearer to him, expressing affection by every movement. Zosimus said to the lion, "The Great One ordered that her body was to be buried. But I am old and have not strength to dig the grave, for I have no spade and it would take too long to go and get one. So can you carry out the work with your claws? Then we can commit to the earth the mortal temple of the saint." While he was still speaking, the lion, with his front paws, began to dig a hole deep enough to bury the body. Again the elder washed the feet of the saint with his tears, and calling on her to pray for all, covered the body with earth in the presence of the lion. It was as it had been, naked and uncovered by anything but the tattered cloak, which had been given to her by Zosimus, and with which Mary, turning away, had managed to cover part of her body. Then both departed. The lion went off into the depth of the desert like a lamb, while Zosimus returned to the monastery, glorifying and blessing Christ our Lord. And on reaching the monastery, he told all the brothers about everything, and all marveled on hearing of God's miracles, and with fear and love they kept the memory of the saint. Abbot John, as St. Mary had previously told Abba Zosimus, found a number of things wrong in the monastery and got rid of them with God's help. And St. Zosimus died in the same monastery, almost attaining the age of 100, and passed to eternal life. The monks kept this story without writing it down and passed it on by word of mouth to one another. But I, add St. Sophronius, as soon as I heard it, wrote it down. Perhaps someone else, better informed, has already written the life of the saint, but as far as I could, I have recorded everything, putting truth above all else. May God, who works amazing miracles and generously bestows gifts on those who turn to him with faith, reward those who seek light for themselves in this story, who hear, read, and are zealous to write it. And may he grant them the lot of Blessed Mary, together with all who at different times have pleased God by their pious thoughts and labors. And let us also give glory to God, the eternal King, that he may grant us too his mercy in the day of judgment, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom belongs all glory, honor, dominion, and adoration, with the eternal Father and the most holy and life-giving Spirit, now and always, and throughout all ages. Amen.